As I sit down to begin recording this episode of the Roughing the Kicker podcast on Arrowhead Addict, I have watched the football games on Thanksgiving. They have all concluded. I have begun to digest my food, but I still can't quite digest the fact that the Chiefs are now in possession of a wild card spot. The NFL is weird. The Chiefs are keeping it weirder. I am Joshua Briscoe at JB Briscoe on Twitter. Always a proponent of everything staying as weird as it is. On this episode of the show, I'm going to talk about the Chiefs defeating the San Diego Chargers in San Diego in really dominant fashion. Look through all of that, some news and notes that really affect the Chiefs right now, and then look ahead to Sunday's game against the Buffalo Bills, when the Chiefs will have a chance to cement themselves as one of the favorites for a wild card spot, if not already. This team was dead and buried about an hour and a half ago, and all of a sudden we're talking about them being a favorite for a playoff spot. We can all be thankful for the Chiefs, but I'm going to make this quick. I got like three pieces of pumpkin pie with my name on it. As of game time on Sunday, the Raiders had lost in Detroit. The Jets were on their way to lose in Houston. Dallas had Miami just tucked away. And then the Buffalo Bills were looking like a sure loss coming their way in New England. They did end up losing that game, although it was closer than I thought it would be. It was all about the Chiefs just making it happen in that afternoon game slot, and they did. Chiefs 33, San Diego Chargers 3. I did not see this game being a 30-point blowout, but boy, I'm glad it was. It made for quite a fun afternoon in Kansas City. D4 did not play. He was injured in pregame. That was the one pregame note that I thought was worth keeping an eye on. D4 hasn't played very much. We get it. A lot of people are bringing out the bust label already. It's too soon because his time comes when Tom Bahali leaves. But hopefully he does stay a part of this defense the rest of this season and his injury is not too serious. But let's look at the actual game here. The Chiefs opened the game with an 8-play drive that stalled out. Chargers punted it back, and the Chiefs went on a 9-play, 71-yard drive. Most of that drive came on a Smith pass to Charkandrick West that went for 47. Then the Chiefs faced 3rd and goal. West ran for no gain, then 4th and 1, and then Reed did the right thing by going for it. Then he did an interesting thing by bringing in Dontari Poe at fullback, something I don't remember seeing this season but saw a handful of times last year. Then Reed did the scariest thing. He gave the ball to Dontari Poe at the goal line. And then Dontari Poe became the heaviest man in NFL history to score a rushing touchdown. And it was majestic. It was a phenomenal. He went up. Dontari Poe didn't just put his head down and pummel through the defensive line. He went up. And he is a big person. So the Chiefs went up 6-0, and then after a Travis Kelce hands the face penalty, Cairo Santos missed a 43-yard extra point attempt, so it was 6-0 Chiefs, and it was just a beautiful, West looked great, Smith to West, that connection was fantastic, and then Poe smashing it in at the goal line was just a thing of utter beauty. The Chargers moved 46 yards on their drive, got a field goal to make it 6-3. Chiefs answered by driving down to the 10 and then settling for a field goal of their own. But it was an 11-play, 6-minute drive, something that would become pretty common for the Chiefs. Good time-eating drives throughout the game. The offense performed very well. Talk about that a little bit more after the kind of the play-by-play here. It was disappointing, though, as I've gotten used to saying, disappointing they ended in a field goal. Then the Chiefs forced another punt and actually put together a nice 2-minute drill towards the end of the half. Smith hit Demetrius Harris, went for 25. Then the drive appeared to end in a touchdown when Travis Kelce caught a bullet from Alex Smith in the end zone. And he got lit up by Manti Te'o. Originally, it was ruled a touchdown, but the ball popped out, hit the ground, call was overturned. Chiefs ended up settling for another field goal. It was 12-3 going into halftime. My feelings at halftime here were similar to how I felt early on in the Broncos game, but with a little better feeling about everything. Phillip Rivers has been phenomenal all season. Without exception, he's been great. He's been one of the best quarterbacks in football this year. So when you go in with a 9-point lead, you never feel against Phillip Rivers this year. I never would have felt superb about a 9-point lead, especially when they had a chance for it to be much more than that. Going into halftime at home in San Diego, definitely felt like Rivers could build a comeback at that point. But the Chiefs looked really good. Obviously flawed in the places like finishing in the red zone and everything. But the defense was doing a really fantastic job. Obviously, just 3 points in the first half you take every time. The defense was doing a really good job of keeping the Chargers' offense in check. The run game is nothing. We knew that going into it. It continued to be nothing. I'll pull up the rushing stats for that game. I'm sure it wasn't pretty at the end for the Chargers. But more importantly, the passing game didn't do anything at all, really. Stevie Johnson ended up being the only real threat. Everybody else in the Chargers was hurt. This wasn't a particularly fair matchup from an injury perspective, although obviously the Chiefs have no Jamal Charles. But the Chargers' offense has been really decimated. Yet they ran for 52 yards on 25 carries, so just over 2 yards per carry. And the Chiefs' rushing defense has been really good all year. I think it's something that we've overlooked a little bit with those losses. We overlooked how well the defense performed against Adrian Peterson, Matt Forte, because they lost those games. But here we get to see a really struggling San Diego rushing attack go against a really good Chiefs' rushing defense. Then receiving, that'll jump ahead to the finals of the game, it ended up being 19 receptions for just 178 yards for the Chargers. I don't remember what it was at halftime, but the shades of that were already there. It didn't feel like a game the Chiefs were flukily holding on to. The team was playing well pretty much everywhere across the board going into the half. So I felt good, not great, because Rivers had has that explosive ability to change everything up. But everything felt hopeful, I dare say. Both teams traded punts and short drives back to back to back to back. Before we got to more scoring, when Justin Houston picked off Phillip Rivers and ran it back 17 yards for a touchdown. After the game, Sam Mellinger tweeted, Marcus Peters called Justin Houston's pick six. Quote, I said, hey, 50, when they throw you the screen, you're going to pick it off and go to the house, bruh. I love that. Marcus Peters saw the screen coming. At this point, everything felt like it was just happening. Just like it was against the Broncos, a road victory against a divisional opponent. It doesn't matter what the record is. I mean, and it does, but in this case, it doesn't, because you're going up against an elite quarterback for performance this season. A guy who has an argument to be a Hall of Famer. Obviously, Peyton Manning does too. Peyton Manning was a shell of himself. Phillip Rivers, the Chiefs are catching Phillip Rivers in the midst of one of his greatest stretches of football that he's ever played. They caught Peyton Manning with a bad foot injury and no zip in his ball. Went up against a very good Phillip Rivers, although his weapons were significantly depleted. But that pick wasn't about his weapons. That was Phillip Rivers against a good defense. The good defense won. So the defense continued to dominate, forced another punt. Then after a three and out, the Chiefs special teams recovered a muff punt, Jamel Fleming. Though, amazingly, the Chiefs went three and out again and couldn't turn it into a point. Fleming recovered the fumble and then down the next punt at the 1 yard line. So a really nice special teams sequence for Jamel Fleming there. When the Chargers drove 46 yards in 8 plays, were forced to punt anyway, though, and one more touchdown drive put the game away for the Chiefs. A pass to Spencer Ware went for 52 yards, and then Ware finished the drive with a 3-yard run to make it 26-3 after the extra point. The Chargers then went 4 and out before turning it over on downs. Then Ware carried the Chiefs 24 yards towards a touchdown to make the victory 33-3. Now, you heard me say Spencer Ware in there a lot, so if you missed the game or just want an update, Charcandrick West left the game with a hamstring injury, and Ware performed fantastically in West's stead. I really like West and Ware in the preseason, and they continue to look fantastic in this system with these coaches, and dare I say, behind this offensive line. If we can take a second to talk about what's going on with the Chiefs' offensive line right now, I'd love for someone else to explain it to me. I believed in Eric Fisher all along, and I looked really stupid for a little bit because of it. But Eric Fisher is playing very well at left tackle right now, and a huge part of that, in my opinion, is because of Jeff Allen beside him. Eric Fisher and Jeff Allen on the left side of center, with Mitch Morse in the middle, has been remarkably consistent. They don't seem like they're having to get the help on that side very often. Not a ton of tight end help for Eric Fisher, and usually the running back who is pass blocking, something that Charcandrick West is underrated at. He's pass blocked very well, similar where Nile Davis has struggled. The pass blocking has been very focused to the right side from the instances that I've picked up on it. And that makes sense because the right side has been Laurent Duvernay-Tardif next to Ja Reed with Mitch Morse, as I already said, at center. The left side of the line, though, has been fantastic in all facets of the game. The run blocking for the entire line from Fisher to Allen to Morse to LDT to Ja Reed, who was a free agent when the season started. The run blocking has been fantastic across the line. The pass blocking has been very good on the left side. And Fisher and Allen have been mauling guys, just really, really performing out of their minds. Ben Grubbs, at this point, it wouldn't surprise me if he missed the rest of the season with his, I think it was a neck injury, something where you can't rush back from that. It's something that's it's one of the injuries that has recently started falling into the quote-unquote scary category. Anything from the neck up is something that you cannot be rushed and shouldn't be rushed, for the record. But Grubbs was playing mediocrely at best, I would say, and Jeff Allen was playing very well at right tackle, but he's playing very, very well at left guard. So the offensive line, huge credit in this win streak. Shut down a very good, a good Detroit Lions defensive line, which absolutely dominated the Philadelphia Eagles earlier today on Thanksgiving. Then went to Denver, No DeMarcus Ware, but Von Miller still present, and the best defense in football did not wreck the Chiefs' offensive line. Andy Reid and Doug Peterson and anyone who had anything to do with the offensive game plan understands that against both of those teams and against the Chargers, against a young defense but with some talent there, they have to scheme to cover up the right side of the offensive line. And ultimately, whenever the Chiefs play a really good team with really good coaching and the talent to exploit this, the Chiefs will struggle. But right now, the Chiefs are scheming to compensate for the biggest flaw in the offense, which right now is the right side of the offensive line, and they're compensating for it very well. I say it's the biggest flaw on the team, and I mean that, and that's very specific. Don't lose sight of that, the fact that the right side of the offensive line is a liability for this team. But you can start to lose sight of that because of how well the Chiefs have schemed for it. So that is a huge gold star on the coaching staff resume. Anyway, back to the running game. So West left with the injury after running very well. Spencer Ware performed very, very well. There's a chance that West plays Sunday against Buffalo, but he did not practice on Thursday on Thanksgiving. And as far as I know now, coming up towards the midnight side of Thanksgiving, it's undetermined if he will play or not. But if he doesn't, Ware's going to perform well again, even against a good Buffalo defense. And then now Davis, I think, will return to a backup role and get some meaningful carries. Now, another thing that scares me, though, with West being gone, I want to switch West and Ware up. Four-letter last names start with a W. Strange. D'Anthony Thomas was concussed against the Chargers, and his status, as of this recording, is up in the air. If he returns, he'll get more offensive touches as well, and I hope that he does, because he started to really find a place in this offense. Now, I think it was Solomon Wilcox on CBS, who I just think does not ever sound particularly intelligent. He said something about D'Anthony Thomas being an integral part of this offense, and that's just not true. He's a good weapon to have, and I think, especially if West is out, to have Ware and D'Anthony Thomas be able to come in, to have Ware as the workhorse, Davis as the backup, and D'Anthony Thomas to provide some sparks on the ground or in the screen game, wherever you may want to put him in. I agree that all those things are important, but he's not a superstar on this offense, at least not right now. But when we talk about the Bills game in a little bit, I will look at the offense and say, you know, what did the Chiefs do well these last couple of weeks, and then how are they going to hold up, especially if they keep losing running backs, and right now they are losing running backs constantly. But back to some of the stats from the Chargers game, obviously the defense was fantastic, and it's been fantastic. The Chiefs look like they have one of the best defenses in the league right now. That is deservedly the biggest story. The identity of this team right now is the defense. I love Marcus Peters and Sean Smith as the corners of this team. They can shut down just about anybody, as well as any two corners in football. In the preseason, I thought we'd see Philip Gaines, who's on IR, so he didn't get a chance to do this. Thought that we'd see Philip Gaines get a chance to develop into the next, maybe the number one or number two corner. Marcus Peters develop, hopefully into the number one, I hoped, in the preseason. And then Sean Smith would walk in free agency next year. I want to see Sean Smith back as of right now. I want to see the Chiefs see what they can do with the cap, figure out a way to bring Sean Smith back, because a Sean Smith, Philip Gaines, Marcus Peters secondary with Eric Berry, Tyvon Branch, Hussein Abdullah, however you want to put that together, that is a terrifying secondary. I mean, that is neutralizing incredibly expensive weapons kind of defense. That's fantastic. That would be fantastic. And it's fantastic right now. It's fantastic right now when I'm still not sure who's playing the slot most of the snaps because it's rotating and it's not being a problem. The slot is not being exposed with this defense right now, which is a huge credit to Bob Sutton, in my opinion. Also, I mentioned Eric Berry, and I want to say for a second, he's playing as well right now, and this was not the case all season. He's playing as well right now as I've ever seen him playing as a Chief. At the beginning of the season, I was blown away when it came out that he was going to be back on the team, like, for training camp and then for games after having cancer and beating cancer, and I think it was less than a calendar year. That blew me away, and that story is incredible. And if you want to make him comeback player of the year based around that, do it. Just absolutely do that. But for a little while, he was coming back slowly. It was like, I don't know, he had cancer for a year, because that's what it was. Blows my mind that he's playing football at all. But he looked like he was still trying to get that step back. That, you know, the step that they talk about older players losing, he was still trying to get it back. Well, these last couple of weeks, he has had some fantastic plays. And Derek Johnson as well, after coming back from the injury, is getting better. Johnson and Berry are getting back up to the speed they were at before. And I think Eric Berry is exceeding, or at least on the path to exceeding what he was at. Derek Johnson, logically, I would tell myself, is too old to get better than he was before, but he looks just as good right now. And with no Alan Bailey, Jay Howard, Dontari Poe on that defensive line have been spectacular. Just a really fantastic few weeks for this defense. But offensively, it's easier and more fun in some ways, I suppose, to talk about the offense. And in last week versus Denver, in Denver, that was the concern coming out of the game, is that the Chiefs went to the most dominant defense in the NFL and, you know, only wanted to blow up because the defense was so good. Well, calm down, everybody, because Alex Smith in this offense had a really nice game here. Alex Smith was 20 for 25. Don't tell me about it being short passes, because he had a nice game if you watch what he did. 20 for 25, 253 yards. It's over 10 yards of completion. No touchdowns, no picks, sacked three times. The Chiefs also sacked Phillip Rivers three times. Alex Smith ended with a 83.5 QBR. Phillip Rivers ended with a 20. There was a stat before the game about all of the games that Alex Smith hasn't thrown an interception and how he's had at least one touchdown pass in each of them. And in this game, both of the offensive touchdowns, or all three of the offensive touchdowns, came on the ground. Two for Spencer Ware and one for Dontari Poe. That's not Alex Smith's fault. Do not start throwing me Alex Smith anti-Alex Smith stats, because he went 20 for 25 for 253 and didn't throw a touchdown pass. This offense moved very well, very consistently. 11 carries for Ware for almost 100 yards. 11 carries for 96 yards. Alex Smith carried the ball seven times. I think that's counting the sacks also, for 33. Charkandrick West got 11 carries, only 16 yards on the ground, but he was the second leading receiver with only two receptions. West was 2 for 48 with a 47-yard as his long. And then Albert Wilson was 4 for 56. Travis Kelce caught five passes. Jeremy Maclin caught only three. Jason Avant caught two. Demetrius Harris had a couple. Chris Conley and Spencer Ware each pulled in one. But if you're ready to talk about Alex Smith, and I am, I think we need to look at what he did in this game. Not even just from a stats standpoint, if QBR means nothing to you, and if you're not really thrilled for a 235-yard game or whatever it was with a bunch of short passes, although, again, over 10 yards per completion, I think you'd take that if you took his name off of it. But you have an instance here. The defense plays very well. The running game gets over 150 yards, then you add 250 through the air, and you end up winning by 30 points. I'm not mad at that, or mad at Alex Smith. And I think two important factors come out of this game and this Alex Smith point I'm trying to make right now. One, I talked a little bit ago about how much better the offensive line has been, and now how much better Alex Smith has been. That's not an accident. That parlaying into the fact the Chiefs have won as both of those things, the offensive line and Alex Smith, as they have gotten better, also not an accident. The Chiefs aren't going to win when Alex Smith isn't good. When Alex Smith is bad, the Chiefs aren't going to win. You can't win with a bad quarterback. But Alex Smith is not going to be good when the offensive line is bad. Most quarterbacks, including now for all the people who wanted to say, well, Aaron Rodgers, you know, behind a bad offensive line, eh. All quarterbacks behind an offensive line get worse. Alex Smith can't get worse. He cannot deal with a bad offensive line. Sorry, it's not going to happen. It's not who he is, and if you think that is who he is, or you think that most quarterbacks are that way, watch more football. Alex Smith needs a good offensive line in front of him. These last few weeks, he's had a good offensive line, as awkward as that is to say as a Chiefs fan, talking about this team. The line has gotten better. Smith has gotten better. And if you watch Smith in the game, just you know, beyond 20 for 25, if you actually watch him play, he was hitting tight windows. He was taking riskier shots into smaller windows. He wasn't getting a ton of help from his receivers other than that one long Charkandrick West 47-yard pass. Alex Smith just had a good game here. And I think maybe most importantly of anything, the Chiefs can win games this way. And we've seen it happen. We don't need Alex Smith to ever throw for 350 yards and three touchdowns. If it happens, great. But if you're even if you're in a playoff situation and you need that, like that Colts game where actually he had that kind of fantastic game, that's not how the Chiefs are built to win. The Chiefs are built to have a good defensive showing or a great defensive showing like they have these last few weeks. And then the offense does some on the ground, some in the air. The defense has to respect both sides of the offense. They've got to cover Jeremy Maclin and Travis Kelce. They've got to respect what's coming out of the backfield. Albert Wilson might get open. Chris Conley might have some explosiveness in him. And when a defense has to respect an entire offense, as you do with the Chiefs offense right now, with Alex Smith at the helm, that's all you need if your defense is playing well. The offense has to perform enough. The defense will hold up their end of the bargain. And this team can win real games against good teams. God forbid, dare I say, in the playoffs. Now let's jump into some news and notes, starting off with a bunch of Chiefs ones, things I either thought were interesting, insightful, or just kind of fun from during or after the game. Herbie Tiopi tweeted, "How impressive has the Chiefs defense been today? Chargers ended the game ranked fourth in total offense, 413.9 yards per game. They didn't get close to that. They had just over 201 yards on the game against the Chiefs in San Diego. Half, less than half of their average. Also, something I didn't mention, the Chiefs had zero turnovers and forced two. That's always a nice stat to have in your favor. Also, from TOP, since allowing 31.2 points per game in weeks 1 through 4, the Chiefs are now allowing 12.2 points per game in their last six games. That is not a small sample size. Defense is the clear identity. It certainly is. 12.2 points per game in the last six games. Again, that's not a fluke. Partially playing some bad opponents, perhaps, but you can only play who's in front of you in the NFL, and 12 points a game is going to win you a lot of games. Sam Mellinger said, "Dontari Poe did not know he was the heaviest man to score an NFL rushing touchdown." He quoted him and said, "Refrigerator, how big was he?" 335. Poe said, "Oh, that'll work." I just think that's hilarious, because he knows he's much bigger than Refrigerator Perry was. Thanks to Calvin Esslinger for these next two stats he forwarded over to me. Gil Brandt tweeted that Alex Smith had a 66% completion percentage against the Blitz last week, good for fourth in the NFL. And Pro Football Focus had Derek Johnson ranked as their highest-rated inside linebacker of the week. So thanks, Calvin, for passing those along. If you have any stats like that or anything you come across throughout the week, after the game, during the game, any time in the week, you can always tweet them to me at JB Briscoe or anything longer to tell me or ask me or to bring to my attention, facebook.com/RTK show. I always try to get back to those as quickly as possible. So that's JB Briscoe on Twitter or facebook.com/RTK show. You can send me a message there. Field Yates said the Chiefs' final six games, four of them at home, come against teams with a combined 20 and 40 record. Final six games, four at home, combined 20 and 40 record. I'm terrifyingly hopeful. I read that twice and read it slowly because hope. Hope for not only the Chiefs making the playoffs, which they're in the spot for now, but because it could get better than that. At Sully Football had a tweet that I just really liked. He said, "Good win yesterday. I feel like we could have used Poe more in the passing game, but he dominated running the ball, so no complaints." I like that. I think we ought to split Poe wide out, maybe have him run the screen later on. I think that's a great idea. ESPN Greeny, Mike Greenberg, so the Chiefs are going to make the playoffs. It will be a tough out when they do. I only included that because it's national attention the Chiefs are getting, again, as being a good team, which is just sort of a really weird fluctuation for what the Chiefs have done so far this year. ESPN Stats and Info tweeted that the Chiefs now have a 73% chance of making the playoffs, according to FPI. I believe that was before the Bills game, so now it was even a higher chance. Also on Twitter, at KBRYNSVOLD, I could not pronounce that, I'm sorry, I tried, tweeted, Andy Reid, since Andy Reid took over, the Chiefs have the fourth best point differential in the NFL behind New England, Seattle, and Denver, which is shocking to me. Also, since Andy Reid has been the coach of the Chiefs in that time period, all three of those teams have been to a Super Bowl. Two of them have won Super Bowls. Scott Kazmar from Football Outsiders tweeted, Steelers and Chiefs could be formidable wildcard teams. I hope it's them. No offense to Jets and Bills fans, but those teams just aren't that good. Again, interesting to see different types of people. Mike Greenberg is a radio host, talking head. Scott Kazmar works within the numbers. Interesting to see the Chiefs get kind of lauded as a playoff-bound hard out from different viewpoints. Adam Teicher tweeted that backup quarterback Tyler Bray has returned to practice for the Chiefs. Bray tore his ACL in January playing basketball and was put on injured reserve. All the talk we always have about the quarterback of the future. The Chiefs gave Tyler Bray a contract extension even after he was put on injured reserve. Just really interested to keep an eye on his development and see what the Chiefs think of him. And from Sports Illustrated and the MMQB, Peter King has the Chiefs now as his surprise AFC team to watch. He kind of recaps where the Chiefs have been, talks about Marcus Peters, Eric Berry, and then writes, the fall of the Chiefs didn't generate the kind of alarm I thought it should have a month ago. Maybe it's because they sit out there in the hinterlands, or maybe it's because the Royals took away so much attention on October, or maybe it's because so many fans have lost faith in Andy Reid to deliver a championship and Alex Smith to pass a team to one, or maybe because fans just figured without Jamal Charles, lost for the season in Week 5, it was just one of those years. But the football world didn't exactly spin off its axis when the Kansas City Chiefs started 1-5. And maybe that was good for the Chiefs. Instead of there being a four-alarm fire with the public and media around and the social media around the team, the way it would have been if this happened, say, in a high-expectation market like Philadelphia or Dallas or Denver this year, the Chiefs could go about the business of fixing the team in relative sanity. Relative being the operative word, nowhere is 1-5 cool. And then he goes on to talk about how, or to quote Alex Smith saying, there was no one big thing that really sparked this for the Chiefs. You know, Alex Smith said, quote, at 1-5, it was pretty dark. You feel this sort of dark mentality, like, quote, are you kidding? But the good thing about this team and this coach is he never let it get to that spot, and our locker room never got a real negative vibe. It's easy to point fingers and have guys whisper things in the locker room. We never did. I never heard it. That's a credit to our leaders. That's from Alex Smith. And then King continues to look at the Chiefs really for quite a while. He says he looks at the Chiefs' schedule and the loss to Chicago, the defensive playmakers, Alex Smith playing much better. And then he wraps it all up saying two other positive points other than Charles, which is a big deal, I add parenthetically. Other than Charles, the Chiefs haven't had a debilitating injury, and in the past six games, exactly zero came against teams currently over 500. Kansas City is 5-5. Who will be stunned to see them finish 10-6 or even 11-5 and go on a January run against a mediocre AFC South foe, for example, and maybe Denver or Cincinnati in the divisional round? Every year we look for the hot teams to make a run going down the stretch. Regardless of record, the Chiefs look like that AFC team. And I'm horrified, but I agree. Overall, I think we've overreacted for the Chiefs basically every step of the way. And, I mean, I say we, meaning myself as well. And in some cases, I think it's justified. I think we had too much hype for them in the preseason. There are more flaws on this offensive line than we thought there were. They didn't get as fixed as well, whatever that might be. And then we overreacted, or I overreacted, to they should just start tanking whenever they lost to the Bears, because I guess I underestimated what was still on the team. But I think we might be overreacting now a little bit, too. I agree that they have that potential. They look like that kind of team. But I think the Steelers look like it more. The Steelers have an elite quarterback who can make that kind of run happen. So I think overall, this Chiefs team, even though it's going to be played in stretches where the Chiefs went 1-5 at the beginning and could end on a six game winning streak or whatever, or more than that, obviously, if you're going from 1-5, but say they win 6, 7, 8 games in a row, It's a streaky team in that way, but I think that's because of the schedule and just playing better and worse teams for the most part, although there's definitely weird stuff going on early in the season, like the losses, although the Bears and Vikings look much better now, but those losses, losing to the Broncos at home was incredibly enormous for the divisional race. But overall, this team is what we're seeing now. They're a top middle of the pack team that is a wild card level team that has the ability to make some noise in the playoffs. Also has the ability to throw up a real stinker against the Broncos whenever they need to pull out a win in week two. Now for a couple of NFL news and notes pieces. Trey Wingo says that Brock Osweiler's completion percentage, first down percentage, and touchdown percentage were the best by a Broncos starting quarterback all season. Also the first game for the Broncos this year with no interception. The Broncos won last week against the Chicago Bears, who just beat the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay, strangely enough. But Brock Osweiler will be starting again this week for the Broncos. The other interesting thing that happened last week as far as the Chiefs impact, Joe Flacco, torn ACL, done for the year. Adam Schefter pointed out, Ravens' four best players, Joe Flacco, Justin Forsett, Steve Smith, and Terrell Suggs, now all out for the year. The Chiefs play the Ravens in December. That game was already looking pretty promising, even more so now for the Chiefs' chances in that one. Now, before we get on to previewing the Bills game, I want to tell you about Patreon. Talk about it. If you've been listening to the show for a little while, you've heard about it plenty of times. But Patreon, I've heard it called a virtual tipping and rewards site. You can give a little bit of money to me to do this show or to the show, however you want to think about it. It can be $5, $10, $20, $100 a month. If you'd like to donate more than $100 a month, we'll talk. But what we can do then is for the $5 group, I can give you a shout out on the show. The $10 group, I'll throw your Twitter handle out. For $20, if you want, I'll answer a question specifically from you on the show. Anything more than that, advertising a product, whatever it may be. You can do all of that at patreon.com/RTK. See the options. I think I'm about to try to indulge in a Black Friday sale, upgrade some technical equipment to continue doing this show at the highest level, because you know, whenever you listen to the Roughing the Kicker podcast, you're going for the highest technical quality. That's what I really thrive on. But the Patreon supporters keeping this show running and hopefully improving right now. Don Beal at DonBeal32 is the lone $20 supporter. Thank you so much, Don, for jumping on the train. And then $10 group is Christine Roadlander at C Roadlander and Ty DeClaire at TyDeClaire44. They've both been on the bandwagon for weeks and weeks now. Also, $5 group, Josh Beadle, Ben Rahman, Jason Essler. Thank all of you guys for pitching in to keep this show hopefully trending upwards, just like the Chiefs. You know, we started out 1-5 also. When the Chiefs started 1-5, we all started 1-5. But I like to think that because of you guys, in our hearts, we are undefeated. Buffalo Bills at Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs have a chance to really take a step up over the Bills in the playoff chase. The Chiefs now currently 5-5. As we all know, the Buffalo Bills also sitting at 500. Looking at the playoff picture right now, the Patriots and Bengals are the first and second seeds, respectively, with the Broncos as the third seed. Currently, the Colts at 4. Colts and Texans are both 5-5 as well, but one of them has to win the division. And the Pittsburgh Steelers at 6-4, who the Chiefs have the tiebreaker over because of the head-to-head matchup the Chiefs won with Landry Jones at quarterback. The Steelers are 6-4 at the fifth seed right now. Chiefs 5-5 in the sixth spot. The Bills are also 5-5. And the Chiefs could just put the Bills a whole step below because they would pick up not only the victory here, but also the tiebreaker and hold the tiebreaker over the Steelers and the Bills, making everything look awfully good for the Chiefs. And the Steelers have to go play in Seattle this week. So if the Chiefs win this game and the Steelers lose, the Chiefs will be looking at going to Indianapolis or Houston in the first round of the playoffs, and I would be very okay with that. But there's some real pressure on the Chiefs here, I think maybe more even than the last 2 weeks, because losing this game would be a huge blow to the playoff chances of Kansas City. If the Chiefs drop to 5-6, the Bills go to 6-5, they lose that tiebreaker, the tiebreaker over the Steelers doesn't look quite so bright anymore, and then the Chiefs are at best 10-6, and I still think they lose one of these games down the road somewhere. So this is as much of a must-win game as it can be right now, I would say, honestly. Start off with the injury report. as of Thursday or on Thursday on Thanksgiving. Charkandrick West, D'Anthony Thomas, D Ford, and Alan Bailey did not practice. Tom Bahaly didn't either, but he should be expected to play, just giving him days off. Ben Grubbs has already been ruled out, so we can expect the offensive line to stay the same. On the Bills injury report, Kyle Williams did not practice. Marcus Easley did not practice. Mario Williams did not practice. Marcell Dareus was limited. Tyrod Taylor, with his right shoulder injury, was limited. Those are the big names to keep an eye on. Taylor, on Monday night against the Patriots, basically finished the game throwing the ball and then immediately pulling on his shoulder pad to try to take some of the weight off of his collarbone or shoulder. So he seems like he's probably going to be playing in this game, but even if he is, he could be going at it a little bit gingerly. I like how the Chiefs' defense matches up in this game. The Bills ended up with just 13 points against the Patriots, even though that game was very, very close, really, throughout the entire game. They only ended up losing by 7, and the Bills have just beaten. The Bills have just played their entire division. They won against Miami at home, won at the New York Jets, and then lost at the Patriots. This is a good team. It's not a great team, but it's a good team. The Chiefs are the hotter team right now, but again, the main matchup for the Chiefs, I think, to keep an eye on is just, or for the Chiefs to exploit, is the defense. They have LeSean McCoy, and he's the most efficient runner, but he's had injury issues, but he is their leading rusher. Tyrod Taylor has shown sparks, and he's played well in places, but I'm not generally afraid of Tyrod Taylor, not like I was Peyton Manning, even though he ended up being hurt, or certainly not like Phillip Rivers, not even like Matt Stafford. He doesn't have that kind of ceiling. Their passing game, I was going to criticize them for their tight end being their leading receiver, but that's true for both teams here. Charles Clay for Buffalo and Travis Kelce for the Chiefs. But Clay has just over 400 yards, and that is their leading receiver. Sammy Watkins is their most dangerous receiver, but he's had a hard time getting the ball. Overall, I don't see this Buffalo offense doing anything against this Chiefs defense, at least nothing terribly scary. Now, they've averaged a little over 24 points per game on offense. The Chiefs have averaged a little over 25. And both defenses have been better. They both have positive point differentials. The average score, if you'll give me the artistic license here, for the Bills would basically be 24-23, and the Chiefs it would be 26-20. If you look at their points per game and points allowed per game, the Chiefs are better in both regards. I think they'll be better in both regards here as well. I think the Chiefs ultimately win this game because of the defense versus the Bills' offensive matchup. Now, the Chiefs' offense has been good enough consistently. I think that will continue to be true, but I think this is a little more of a low-scoring game than last week. The Bills' defense will give the Chiefs some fits, especially if we're looking at not having, obviously, Jamaal Charles or Charkandrick West, maybe no D'Anthony Thomas. I think this puts a lot of responsibility on Spencer Ware because he's going to be the most important piece of this Chiefs offense. The Bills have a good defense, especially a good pass defense. Cornerback Ronald Darby is the other rookie corner in the NFL right now, other than Marcus Peters, who's getting a lot of Rookie of the Year consideration. But then on the front line, as I've mentioned, there are injury questions, but Mario Williams, Marcell Dareus, Kyle Williams. I struggle to see where the Chiefs' offense takes a hold here. If Ware and West and DAT can all get together and be healthy and make some plays, there I think the Chiefs can exploit the defense. But the passing game hasn't been exquisite. I think Alex Smith has played much better. But I'm waiting to see Chris Conley or Jeremy Maclin have a big game, and I'm having a hard time seeing it happen here. Even though, you know, we as Chiefs fans are watching Marcus Peters as a rookie cornerback and saying, wow, look at what he can do. Darby's having some of the same experiences in Buffalo. I don't think this is a great matchup for the Chiefs offensively, but I think they'll do enough. I think the run game will take hold. I think Smith and the offense will do enough. I think Travis Kelce has a nice game here. But ultimately, once again, it's the defense that shines. I think the Chiefs win this game 20-13 at home. Not a particularly beautiful game, but a victory, and that's all that matters. The tiebreaker goes in the Chiefs' favor. The win goes in the Chiefs' favor. And I think next week we're talking about the Chiefs as the number 5 seed in the AFC playoff race, which is not something I expected to say just a few weeks ago. That's going to do it for this Thanksgiving edition of the Roughing the Kicker podcast on arrowheadaddict.com. AA Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Briscoe. You can always get in contact with me on Twitter at JB Briscoe. You can follow my hot takes there, or just shoot me some stats, some information, some ideas you have. If you need a little more space to work with in our conversation, facebook.com/RTK show. You can like the page there, send me a message, whatever you feel the need to do. Patreon.com/RTK is the way to financially support the show. But just sharing the show around and keeping involved in the conversation is my favorite thing to do. So thank you all that do that consistently. And thank you all for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Hope everyone had a fantastic Thanksgiving. And I hope we have something to be even more grateful for on Sunday. But for now, I truly am thankful for all of you who keep coming back to this show. I appreciate it tremendously. I love being able to have this conversation, and I love it even more when the Chiefs find themselves in a wild card spot.
Excuse me,
what
sir,
a weird sport we watch.
Bye, Mom.